The author of our next story, Israel Joshua Singer, was the role model for his younger brother, Isaac Basheva Singer. Born in Poland in 1893, the son of a much-beloved Warsaw rabbi, he grew up in a traditional Jewish home. At an early age, he turned away from religious texts and embraced modern secular literature. His story, A Stranger, takes place in a small village in the Polish countryside, a favorite setting for Yiddish literature. Here, living beyond the reach of a city or shtetl with its organized Jewish community, the story's protagonist, a Jewish miller named Raphael, is free to make his own accommodations with the surrounding non-Jewish peasants. And Raphael has learned to fit in remarkably well. Honest, straightforward, physically strong, he thinks of himself and is thought of by others as a good friend and neighbor. It is only when the peasants decide to seek their own brand of country justice that the Jew, who has lived in the village all his life, is suddenly seen as a stranger. The story is by I.J. Singer, our reader, Elliot Gould.
Early that morning, the peasants of the village of Leshnovka learned that in the night, someone had stolen the horses of their neighbor Raphael the miller. Without consultation and without a plan, they left their work in the fields and assembled at the mill. At one end of the big yard, over which chickens strayed, pecking at grains of corn and in which everything was covered with a thin white film of flour, stood the stables, with their big doors sprawling wide open. The iron bar which swung from one side over the two doors had been cut in two. Raphael, a broad-boned Jew with a black beard, who stooped slightly from carrying heavy sacks of grain, looked mournfully at the two empty and now useless yokes which hung on the wall. His wife, Bella, whose high-bosomed dress was perpetually adorned with pins, needles, and dangling thread, was wringing her hands and bewailing the loss in the manner and with the melody of one keening for the dead. "Oh, our two darling lovely horses," she wept. "Such beautiful, healthy, hard-working beasts. We'll never, never see them again. They're gone forever." Raphael's dog, Burek, a huge, shaggy brute with such powerful leg and shoulder muscles that he had been known, when in a rage, to burst the chain which held him tied to the post, lay stretched out in the middle of the yard, his blue tongue hanging out of his jaws. Swarms of flies buzzed around his closed eyes. The peasants gently touched the stiff fur with the points of their boots and shook their heads. "That's a damn dirty trick, Raphael," they said sympathetically. Raphael walked to and fro in the yard, looking for hoof marks on the ground, but he found none. "They must have got them out by magic," he muttered. "Not a hoof mark on the ground." "Magic," said the smith, lifting a blackened, angry arm. "Not much of that. They wrapped a lot of rags round their hooves, that's all. Sons of bitches, that's why you can't trace them." "Cut their goddamn hearts out if we catch them," several voices said. "And put salt on them afterwards," others added. The peasants were furious. They had always looked on Raphael the miller as one of themselves. Not only he, but his father, too, had been born in Leshnovka. There were old people about who even remembered Raphael's grandfather in the days when he was a leaseholder of the count. Raphael the miller had never kept a shop. He had never bought and sold. He worked like all the other farmers of Leshnovka, plowed and sowed and reaped with them, drove his loads to market, bred cattle, sawed timber. His wife, Bella, planted potatoes like any other peasant woman, milked the cows, fed the chickens, and carried fowl and eggs, cheese and butter to the market. Raphael had a small windmill, and the farmers brought him their grain. Raphael's weights were honest, and there was no need to watch him. The farmers liked him for other reasons, too. In his speech, he never mentioned the Holy Mother, or her son Jesus, or his sacred wounds, yet he spoke Polish as well as any of them. Even in physical prowess, he was one of them and could stand up to the strongest. He carried a double load of grain up the narrow steps of his mill without grunting or being winded. Yes, Raphael was one of themselves, and they resented the outrage that had been done him as if they had been its victims. Besides, they were actually disturbed for their own beasts. The only man in the village who had an iron bar on his stable door was Raphael the miller. His dog, too, had been the biggest and most vicious in the neighborhood. If his horses could be let out in the night, then no man's animals were safe, and there was no law any longer in Lishnovka. Their first suspicions fell on the gypsies, who were thieves from of old. Besides, they were black and they were heathens. That was where they ought to look for the horses. But Jan, the smith, who could read and write and who passed for the sage in the village, made a contemptuous gesture with his blackened hand. "You're all talking nonsense," he said with dignity. "In the first place, it's a long time since we had a gypsy encampment anywhere around here. In the second place, gypsies are sneak thieves, and they steal where it's easiest. They don't face big dogs or cut through iron bars. This isn't the work of gypsies." "If it wasn't gypsies, then it was Jonah the tinsmith," said an old peasant boldly. "He comes from the city, and he knows how to cut through an iron bar." Jan bent down, picked up one of the pieces of iron, and examined it closely. "Jonah can pick a lock," he said, "but he can't cut an iron bar. And being a city man, he'd be afraid of a big dog like Burek. All Jews are afraid of dogs." The men scratched their heads. "All right, Jan," they said. "You're the wise man. Who did it?" Jan threw down the iron bar and stroked his whiskers to right and left with both hands. He said, "It's the work of blind Segelek. I know that he used to be a smith, and we all..."